How is love for the true God possible at all? Is this something that all men are capable of, or is it a gift from Almighty God? And if it is a gift from Almighty God, how can you tell if a person truly loves God at all? What are the tests of love for God? John answers these questions in the passage before us today. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we look today at the passage from Scripture that tells us where true love comes from, we pray for wisdom and understanding and grace to be given to us. Please forgive our sins and bless us as we study these matters together. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Hear the Word of God. I'm reading today from 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love Him because He first loved us. If someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. May He add His wonderful blessing to our reading and understanding of it this day. Where does love for God come from? It comes from God Himself. John writes, "We love Him because He first loved us." Love for God, you see, is not a natural ability of sinful man. By nature, we know little about God. We see evidence of Him in creation all around us, but the Bible also teaches us that as sinners, we flee from this holy God who is revealed to us. We hate God by nature, and we flee from God. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus said this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And in John 15, 23, He said, "He who hates me hates my Father also." And so this hatred of the world toward Christ is hatred also toward God the Father. And not only do we as sinners, before our conversion, hate God, but we hate one another. Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another." This is not a pretty picture of humanity, but it is an accurate picture given to us by the Word of God. And therefore, what we understand then is that love for God is not a natural affection that sinful fallen men have toward God. Rather, this love for God comes as a gift from God to His people through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has demonstrated what genuine love is for us in terms of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, Paul says, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And God plants this love like that in our hearts as well. In Romans 5, verse 5, Paul goes on to say, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So as we saw last time, it is the Holy Spirit who implants that seed of love in our hearts and waters it and causes it to grow. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, we read this, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." That circumcision is a spiritual circumcision. It is a change of heart wrought by God Himself in the heart of sinful man to cause us to turn from that and to believe and to love Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So love for God is a response of the converted heart toward the love that God has shown us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ. As David said in Psalm 116, I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications. So, Christian, what we are called upon to do then is to imitate and reflect that very love that God has for us, that God has implanted in our hearts toward others and toward Him as well. And so we are to imitate that as Christian people. The more you realize the love of God for you in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you ought to grow in love toward the brethren as well. And the more you ought to love God back in return. The judgment of God is not what compels Christians to love God, but rather it is the love that He has showered upon us in Christ that compels us to love each other. That's how we see that love. But how can you tell then if you or someone else genuinely has true love for Almighty God? John answers that question next. John brings us to the test of true love for God. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. This is a conditional sentence in the Greek language, and it can be read perhaps, suppose someone were to come to you and say, I love God, and yet that person keeps on hating his brother. The term hate means to dislike very strongly. It has the implication of aversion and hostility toward the person that is hated. It means to detest someone, not to want to be around that person. What John is perhaps addressing here is the fact that the Gnostic heretics claimed to love God, and yet they hated Christians with a passion. The teaching, however, has a broader application than just addressing those heretics in that day. No one can truly have love for God that moves vertically without having love for his brother or sister that moves horizontally. These two things go together. So genuine love for God extends both to God, but also to the brother and sister in Christ, to one another in Christ. The result of this condition of genuine love for God and for our fellow believers is fulfilled in the person who loves God and loves his brothers. So hatred for a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, John says, is proof of lack of love for God. It is proof that the person who says that is a liar. Now, liar is a very strong term. It means simply someone who is false, someone who has broken the faith, someone who is a false and faithless individual. In other words, not a true believer. So the liar is the one who is not a true believer, who claims to love God, but because he continues to hate his brother, he is telling a lie. He doesn't truly love God because he doesn't love his brother in Christ. John goes on and says, for he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? The Bible is very clear. God testifies that he created man in his own image back in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. What God requires then of you is that you love one another because you are made in this wonderful image of Almighty God together. Now, John is only addressing the love of the brethren here, but the Bible makes it very, very clear that you are not to hate others, even unbelievers, but instead you are to love them. You are commanded to love the brethren here and elsewhere in Scripture. You are commanded to love your neighbor as yourself in Leviticus 19 and Matthew 22. And you are even commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to love your enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In a different context, James wrote this in James chapter 3. With it, talking about our tongues, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. And so Paul testifies to it, Jesus testifies to it, Moses testifies to it, James testifies to it. We are made in the image of God. So the question that's asked here is a rhetorical question. The answer is, one cannot love God who does not also love his brother, whom he has indeed seen, when he has never seen God. So you can't say that you love God whom you've never seen if you refuse to love your brother whom you have seen. A person can say, "I love God," whom he has not been able to see, and may even go through all the motions of prayer and devotion to God, but it is merely an empty show, John is telling us. A person cannot easily deceive others about his devotion to other Christians, however. That becomes quite clear. That relationship is very, very visible. And so while you can claim to love God whom no one can see, it becomes very evident quickly when you do not love your brother whom you can see. That way a person can know if your testimony of loving God is true or not. Because you can claim to know God, but if he observes you hating your brother, then that lack of love shows that you have no love for God at all. This is one of the many tests that John gives in this letter by which you might know that you have come to know and to love God. This test of love for God has indeed become a command for us. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. So John wants to stress the concept that he is teaching here. And he reminds us that it is not merely a good idea that we love the brethren. It is not merely a test by which we might know if we love God, but it is an actual command from God himself that we love our brethren. We find it, for example, in Leviticus chapter 19, where God the Father said this, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And Jesus repeated this idea in John chapter 13, when he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So, love for God and love for the brethren have been the primary teaching of the Bible from beginning to end and throughout all of Christian history. This is Jesus' summary of the law in terms of that love. In Matthew chapter 22, he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, what is the quality of this love that we are to show toward our brethren? We will look at that next. Remember, John has already told us that the source of our love for God is God himself, that God gives us this gift of love for him as well as for our brethren. God himself personifies love. John has already told us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And in 1 John 4, 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. We are to reflect this type of love into the world. In 1 John 4, 7, he said, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. God loved us. We love him because he first loved us, John says here. And so we love God in return. Fear is cast out because perfect love has come in, and we keep his commands as a result. There is no fear in love, we saw last time, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And we're going to see in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we demonstrate our love for God by our obedience to God. God gave his Son for us. And so we see in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation of the love of God itself. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might be saved through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We love, and as we love, we are to give of ourselves and of our substance to others as well. But whoever has this world's goods, John says, and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how can the love of God abide in him? So our treatment of our fellow Christians is once again evidence of whether or not we truly love God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another, John tells us. Now we see in Christ the personification of this love, obviously. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And we do that. We are called upon to do that. We are called upon to lay down our lives for one another. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Measure yourself then by the love of God. Measure yourself by these standards. Are you demonstrating love toward brothers and sisters in Christ in the church? Are you then demonstrating that your profession of faith in God and in Christ is genuine? If you show love toward the brothers, you are demonstrating that your testimony of faith in Christ is true. If not, you need to repent of sin. For it is sin not to love, as we are commanded to love. You need to turn to Christ, and perhaps if you've never done so before, you need to be saved in the first place. But it's possible to be a Christian and to sin in this regard, and you need to repent if that is the case as well. Turn to Him, flee to Him, come to Him, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Repent of your sin if you're a Christian, claiming to be a Christian, and put your life in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then love Him supremely, and love your brothers and sisters as well, as evidence and proof that your statement of love toward God is true. And then you will be able to do the works that God has set forth for you to do, of loving Him and loving one another, loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. And in so doing, you will honor God, and you will demonstrate that you have true, genuine, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do so today. Show love for Him by showing love for one another. Amen. Let us pray once again. Almighty and gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, how we thank you for the marvelous love that you shower upon us in Jesus, and how we thank you that you implant that seed of love in our hearts so that we are enabled to love brothers and sisters in Christ as well. May we demonstrate the genuineness of our faith in you and our love for you as we love each other. And Father, if any are watching or listening today who do not know that love, show your love for them through Christ. Call them to repentance and faith in Christ and enable them to put their trust in him and to love you and to love the brethren. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to continuing our study in 1 John next time.